You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's good to be back. I had a week away for vacation with the family, but I'm back now. I was able to watch bits and pieces of games throughout the week. I went back and watched a few things here and there. I hope you guys enjoyed Sean Coleman as the guest host. I know that... It's not a normal week, but at least wanted to make sure that we at least did a show every day, even if it wasn't with me. I know that Sean did a good job. I knew he was going to. He really, really smart guy. Him and I have known each other for a long time, so a very smart guy and really a talented writer. So make sure you're following him over on Twitter. I know he does a lot of good stuff. Has a lot of good articles, and I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. But it has been quite the weekend for the Grizzlies. They or just merely Memphis sports in general. Grizzlies lose two in a row. Tigers lose to the Tennessee Vols, which just pains me so much to say that. But the first segment here, this Monday, we're going to recap the loss over the weekend, or both losses over the weekend. Second segment of the Monday show, as in every Monday show, we'll do a Monday mailbag. We'll answer your questions from either Twitter or email. And the third segment, we're going to ask a question: why are the Grizzlies losing so much? We'll try to figure that out. We'll dive a little bit deeper and try to figure out what exactly the problem is, what the Grizzlies need to try to fix, I guess, to get back on the winning side of things. Grizzlies are now 16-13. As I mentioned, they lose to the Rockets and the Heat over the weekend. The Heat was a game that you should have picked up. Really and truthfully, the Rockets game was a game I always thought they were going to lose. And so, you really take the schedule and just kind of in little segments at a time. We talked about on this show with Joe Mullenix 2 weeks ago now, what this last week would hold. And they had four games, the Lakers, Nuggets, Blazers, excuse me, Pelicans, Lakers, Nuggets, Blazers. And I said that largely I thought they would go 2-2, which is true. But just they won some games. I guess the Clippers game, I thought they would probably, I guess they won the ones I thought they were going to win, but against the Pelicans and the Blazers over the past week. But you take it in small segments. In that Miami Heat Rockets segment over this weekend, you thought, hey, well, that's a Miami Heat, that's a team that's really struggling, and you really want to get a win against teams that have a lower record than you. I mean, it's bottom tier teams in the East, and Grizzlies just couldn't do it. And they lose to the Heat 100-97. They lose to the Rockets 105-97. They were never really in that Rockets game. They made it close at the end. I will say that. They had a point where I can't remember who shot the three, but I think it was Mike Conley. I don't remember exactly, but they had a point where someone shot a three and it kind of rimmed out, and that would have made it 98-94, and it really would have been a huge difference. But Javon Carter makes his NBA debut. Was really impressed with everything that I saw from him. People have been clamoring for him to play for quite some time, and he has definitely shown that he is. Put in his time in the G League, and it's definitely, he deserves minutes. The one thing you say about the rookies is you put them in, and whether they're good or bad or whatsoever, you really want to see from them is whether they deserve more minutes. And I think from Javon's showing on against the Rockets, he definitely deserves more minutes. He finished with 11 points in 22 minutes, had a rebound, a couple steals, but really played really, really good defense against Chris Paul and James Harden. Some guys are obviously incredible basketball players. It's difficult to have good games or, play good defense against those guys, especially drawing fouls so much. That is their thing, and they try to get to the line as much as they can. And so for a rookie to come in and say that's your assignment to go stop those guys is it's not an easy task for sure. And so he did definitely did better than I would have thought he would. Played really well. He played good enough to he deserves minutes. He definitely deserves a second chance and another look. And so hopefully the coaching staff will give that to him. Marc Gasol in that game finishes 17 points and 9 rebounds. Probably one of his better games that he's had since rolling his ankle against the Raptors early a couple weeks ago. And we'll talk about that later. But I think probably the best game he's had since then, and he hasn't been playing great. Mike Conley, 22 points, 6 assists. Another just steady game from Mike. I mean, I think he's just so consistent. That's what you're going to get from him. Jaren Jackson, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. You get a lot from Jaren Jackson. Kyle Anderson was noticeably absent. He rolled his ankle, the night before, 2 nights ago. I'm not sure. Kyle Anderson rolled his ankle, so he wasn't available. He didn't play. So Garrett Temple starting Shelvin Mack and Garrett Temple at the 2 guard spots. You're getting a total of 12 points from both of them, which is just it's just not good enough. I mean, you can't have guys playing 27 minutes apiece in that rotation and get 12 points from the 12 points total from them, especially with someone like Shelvin Mack, who is not a notoriously good defender, who really can get ahead of himself, sagging off of plays and really kind of freelancing on defense, and you can't have him score 4 points and still be effective. It's like the old Tony Allen ideology. Like, you put him in there because he's really good at defense, and you live with the offense. You know, if this is the same thing with Shelvin Mack. Supposedly he's going to be a good 3-point shooter and knock down shots for you or distribute the ball for you. But if he's not doing those things, and you can't put him out there and then live with his defense. So Shelvin Mack, 1 assist, 2 rebounds, 2 turnovers, 4 points. Just not a good night for Shelvin Mack. Really not a good night for either guard. Wayne Selden either, Marshawn Brooks either. There wasn't anything there beyond Mike, Mark, Jamichael, Javon Carter, Jaren Jackson. I mean, there's not really nothing there. Jamichael Green as the model of consistency. Jamichael Green is 6 points, 3 assists, 13 points. You know what you're going to get with Jamichael. You're going to go and get him 10 to 13 points, 7, 8, 9 rebounds a game, 6, 7, 8, 9 rebounds. And that's what you're going to get with him every time. I mean, off the bench, that is what he is. I mean, he's not a starter in this league. I've said it before. He is a high role player in this NBA. He's a consistent role player in this NBA. He's not a starter. He was playing out of his element then, but he is right where he needs to be, playing exactly what he needs to be doing, or doing exactly what he needs to be doing coming off the bench. So Jamichael Green, just very consistent there, but just not good enough. I mean, you let James Harden score 32, Clint Capella goes 26, PJ Tucker even 14. Then you let Gerald Green go for 17, hit 4 3-pointers. I mean, they had largely stopped them at the 3-point game in the first half, and then the second half they came out just killing them from the 3-point range. I mean, they go for 13 for 37. A lot of those coming in the second half. So, but again, just not good enough on the offensive end, and something that I thought that was going to happen anyway. I didn't think that's not a game that you thought was going to win. And then you go to, Friday night, and man, we'll talk about a night Friday night. The Grizzlies lose to a terrible Miami Heat team. It's a terrible loss. Absolutely awful. But it's all masked because they try to make a trade and it just gets even worse. They have a botched trade for the Grizzlies. They tried to trade Marshawn Brooks and Selden and Wayne Selden to Phoenix for Kelly Oubre, and in a 3-team deal with Washington, Phoenix, and Memphis. And apparently, obviously everyone knows about it, but apparently they were unsure. There's some reports about who's unsure of their saying, but you have 3 GMs in this trade, and it got to the point where it got leaked on social media, and Woj is breaking the trade as it's supposedly done, and then you get there, and for some reason you have 3 GMs, and not one of them stops to go, well, wait, which Brooks? I mean, you have 2 on your team. Which Brooks is it? Is it Marshawn or Dylan? Just some pure stupidity going on. I mean, absolutely just pure stupidity at that point. I mean, how in the world do you get that far in negotiations and no one knows. It just boggles my mind. Chris Wallace is adamant that he has never was never saying Dylan. Apparently, the hangup was Phoenix wanted Dylan. Dylan Brooks and not and Wayne Selden and not Marshawn Brooks, and Wayne Selden. So, excuse me, that the hangup apparently, and Chris Wallace at media availability is very firm that it was not Dylan. It was never going to be Dylan. And apparently, there are some reports that they were all working through the Wizards GM, which is just garbage anyway. I mean, if you're Phoenix or the Grizzlies, and you're not reaching out to each other, or at least to just try to make sure that is again the right player. When you have two guys named with the same last name, you can't just say Brooks. The stupidity is beyond me at that level. Again, I said Chris Wallace is very adamant that they were never going to trade Dylan, and we're always seeing Marshawn in the trade talk. So who knows what was said? All I know is that you cannot be that stupid to think that these guys just don't talk to each other. Just don't say, hey, well, there's just ask which Brooks. I mean, it literally is the simplest of all questions when there are two guys with the same last name on it. Who knows what the hell is going on there? Again, I think it's just some pure stupidity on a lot of fronts there. But the trade never happened, and that's a shame, because if they had have happened, had have gotten Marshawn and Selden for Kelly Oubre, that would have been a hell of a win for the Grizzlies. I mean, I think I would have jumped over the moon for that trade. I mean, that would be some serious trade manager right there. I mean, I would have and been the first one to line up and say, great job, Chris Wallace. But it didn't happen. And so, you know, I'm not, you know, even if you put Dylan in that package and you go Dylan Brooks and Wade Selden, you know, if you go Dylan Brooks, Kelly Oubre straight up, I'd probably do it. I mean, I don't know. I think that the problem with Dylan and Kelly Oubre is I think you might have a lot of the same player, and that's a problem with Dylan. Is the problem with that is that Kelly Oubre has already come up on a restricted free agent this year, and Dylan's got a few more years before that happens at low cost to the Grizzlies. So I like Kelly Oubre, but I don't know. It's a tough. I'd have to really just sit down and think about it some more. But if you told me just straight up to Kelly for Dylan Brooks, I might lean towards doing it more so than not. But Marshawn Brooks and Wayne Selden for that would have been a huge win for the Grizzlies. It would have been exactly what they needed. Would have been secondary scoring, some more playmaking off the bench. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't get it done. So that botched trade was a distraction from the awful, awful loss the Grizzlies took on Friday night. I mean, just terrible. Mike Conley, 22 points, 8 assists. Marc Gasol, 14 points. Scarrett Temple, 15 points. Jaren Jackson, 15 points. But just wasn't good. They weren't there on defense. Just were not good on defense until they really had to be. And at that point, I think it was too late. You know, same thing. It's the same thing that we keep saying. You know, Wayne Selden gives you 5 points. Shelvin Mack gives you 7 points. Marshawn Brooks gives you 4 points, you know, just not where you need to be. I mean, you got to get points from somewhere else besides Mark, Mike, Jaren Jackson, and Garrett Temple obviously gives you 15, which is good for him, but that's not something he's going to do on a consistent basis as we've seen throughout the year. So just got to get more scoring. And we've been saying that on this show for quite some time. It seems like I say it all the time, and that seems like the excuse for every loss, but you know, when you break it down, it largely is. The defense, a lot of the times, is there. The defense is good, but as I said before, you know, you gotta, if you're gonna play like this, and this is you're gonna score 90 to 100 points a game, you know, you have to have more scoring, and you have to have an elite level defense. You can't just have an okay defense. And the Grizzlies have not been elite defense as of late. But overall, their defense is good, but they have to be, like I said, they have to be elite every single night if they're only going to score 90 to 97, 98, 100 points, something like that. It's just not going to equate to wins. It just won't for the Grizzlies at this point with the offense that they're running. I mean, you know, you're averaging 102 points a game, which is almost dead last in the league. It's just still not enough. So again, the Grizzlies lose two over the weekend. That's, you know, of the last 12, they're 4-8. Of the last 12. So have not been good over the last few weeks. So, but we'll talk more about that in the third segment, why the Grizzlies have not been good, and see if we can figure it out. We can get a little bit more in depth, I guess, and kind of get some reasons on why they haven't been that good as of late. But in the next segment, we're going to do our Monday mailbag. We'll answer a few questions. I got two questions or three questions from people. So we'll do that Monday mailbag in the next segment. Like I said, in the third segment, we'll try to figure out why the Grizzlies are losing so much lately. But stay tuned for that next segment of Monday mailbag. Welcome back to the show. Again, in that third segment, we'll try to talk about exactly why the Grizzlies are losing so much. But first, let's talk about Monday mailbag. We got a few questions that came in over the weekend. We actually have one question that came in from before I left, and so I'll answer that as well. We'll answer that one first, which is from Will Fulgeman via email. He's asking, give me an update on Grizzlies injuries, Wayne Parsons and Dylan. When should we expect them back? And then how much playing time do you think these ideal for these guys when they're healthy, and whose minutes will they take? Well, Wayne's fine. So obviously this question is old. I guess the update should now be on Kyle Anderson and when he'll be back. Kyle's day-to-day. That's all we know. That's all they've given us is Kyle's day-to-day. With a left ankle sprain. And then Dylan Brooks, we got an update on him. He should be back within the month. He is on track to come back in the next few weeks. I would not expect him to play heavy minutes right away, though we're obviously going to work him back in the rotation. Chandler Parsons, we got an update as well on him, but it's been the same update we keep getting, that he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Nothing has changed on his update other than he has, they've classified as right knee soreness, and that they will update us in 2 weeks. So as far as how much playing time that would be ideal for these guys when they get back, obviously Kyle will pop back into the rotation when he gets back, because he's just suffering from an ankle sprain. So he'll get back as soon as he can and hop right back to where he was. Chandler Parsons, I'd be surprised if Chandler Parsons plays 10 more games for the Grizzlies all year. I'd be surprised if Parsons plays. It would not surprise me if Parsons does not play again this year, and if Chandler Parsons does not play again for the Grizzlies. He's been struggling, obviously, still with knee problems that has plagued him since he's gotten here. And so I think that what they'll probably do is, if they can seek a medical retirement. It has to be a year of him playing, not playing games, from what I understand. It has to be a year. And if it has to be a league physician to come and, classify that as a injury that no longer lets him play. And that's the only point where the Grizzlies will get any kind of relief, any kind of cap relief, from his contract. And he'll still get paid, but it won't count against the cap. So, Parsons, like I said, if he plays again, it surprised me, but they'll keep updating him every 2 weeks. And Dylan's really the guy that you hear they're really missing. Dylan was that guy that started off slow, and then he was really coming on lately, right before he got injured. He was really kind of getting back into his groove. Someone coming off the bench that can't actually make plays and get buckets and on a consistent basis. And he was doing that before he got injured. So I'd expect Dylan to come back in. Obviously they're going to work him back in the rotation, but I would expect him to take Wayne Seldon or Marshawn Brooks minutes, or, probably I would say they'd probably take Marshawn Brooks minutes away first. I don't know. JB's been kind of riding the hot hand on between JB and or between Wayne and Marshawn Brooks. So, but it'll be either one of those guys. It'll be either Wayne or Marshawn that Dylan takes the minutes of. Could be a little bit of both. Could be mostly one. I would peg that it would probably be Marshawn. And then Wayne would continue to play a little bit here and there. But Dylan's really the guy they've been missing too. I mean, they've really missed him coming off the bench. We talked about secondary scoring, and they're just playmaking off the bench. And if I while I'm talking, I'll see if I can get Dylan's stats up here, or his game logs that he was having before he got hurt. And, you know, he had, let's see, before he got hurt, his points were 2, 4, 18, 17, 6. Not amazing, but, you know, he had a couple games that are double-digit scoring. But even then, you have 8, 7, 8, 8. You know, these are games that as he gets back into his groove and you want him to score 10, 12 points, you just need another consistent. You have Jamal Green, who is consistent, you know, that's going to consistently get you 10 to 15 points off the bench. You know, you need another consistent 10 to 15 point player at the bench. And that's really, all they're missing. If you have another player that's consistently giving you those points that you can count on every night to give you 10, 12 points, contribute to rebounding and play defense, that's really all they're missing. I mean, a lot of these games are losing. They're not losing by much. I mean, and if you inject a few, you know, if 7 more points in there, 6 more points in there, those turn into wins pretty easily. So you don't have to play someone like Marshawn or Wayne that, you know, do struggle with defense at some times. And so, you know, and maybe, and if Javon Carter can also develop into that, you know, if he can develop into the 10 to 12 point guy off the bench, you know, who knows? If the Grizzlies can roll out with Jamichael and maybe Javon and Dylan off the bench, and you're getting 20 to 30 points from those guys every night, that's something that you can really hang your hat on and be a solid bench. I mean, most teams don't go but 8 to 9 players in a rotation anyway. And so that's really all you need. And so I think that's just one small thing they're missing. And once they get Dylan Brooks back, I think it will help. And it won't help right away because he'll still be working back from injury, but it will definitely help for sure. Second question is, Jamal Green is having a great run off the bench recently, but he's expiring this summer. What Grizzlies going to do with him? Okay, that's from Grizzlies France. So, at Grizzlies FR on Twitter. Okay, so Jamal Green is expiring. So I think every single trade deal people come up with has Jamal Green in it. And I get it because he's an expiring. And so a lot of teams who are looking at cap relief in the summer maybe find expiring deals as trade, you know, as good trade bait. And also Jamal Green's just good. I mean, he's a good NBA player. So excuse me. Sorry. Jamal Green is a good NBA player. So I'm always confused at first why people put him in trade scenarios, because he's one of the most consistent players that you have. And, you know, taking him off this team, if you're not going to bring something seriously good back in the trade, then, you know, you're getting rid of a lot of offense, a lot of rebounding that you really need. We just spent a whole segment talking about how they needed offense. We spend shows all the time. Need consistent offense. So, I think, you know, obviously no one is untradeable, but I think you have to have the right deal for Jamal Green to be put in a trade. You know, really, you have to make sure that what you bring back is going to replace the production that he's already given you, not only in points but in rebounds. I mean, he's probably the second best offensive rebounder and the best defensive rebounder on this team. He is what you have right now. Obviously, you know, the signing of Joakim Noah, and he hasn't been yet. Joakim Noah had a good game, obviously, the first game, just because he was new and shiny, and it's great, but he's only, you know, he's rebounding like two, three rebounds a game, a couple points a game. It's not amazing production. I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, so, you know, the idea of Joakim Noah was what you had, that you would be able to, you know, maybe make Jamal Green replaceable, and that hasn't really been the case so far. You know, if I were the Grizzlies, I mean, like I said, it would have to be a good deal. You know, they'd have to really bring back something in return for me to put Jamal Green in a trade. And that's not saying that I wouldn't. I'm just saying it would have to be good, because, you know, because you have to replace the production you're gonna get rid of. And so, if they found someone like that, like a Tim Hardaway Jr., that you know you're going to get production in, you know, someone like that's also under contract, or like an Evan Fournier, which again won't happen, but you know, he's under contract, and you could do something like that, I'm all for it. Do it. But I'm not sure that they're going to be able to do that. I'm not sure the Grizzlies would even try to do that. But You know, DeMarco Green off the bench, if they decide to keep him, they can. Like I said, the other option is you just keep him all year, and it's the scenario where, yeah, it's the same scenario where Tyreek Evans, where, you know, you want to trade him for just trade him for something so you don't lose him, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you could keep DeMarco Green if you wanted to. I mean, you could use the mid-level exception on him in the summer. You know, he's making like 7.7 right now. I mean, I don't think he's going to go up from there. You know, there are teams that are going to be interested, probably having a really good backup big off the bench, a really good consistent backup big off the bench. So I think there'll probably be teams interested, but we also said the same, you know, I also said the same thing 2 years ago and no one was interested in them. So, I think that you can probably, bring him back from the, you know, right around the same salary he's on. I mean, so if you wanted to use a mid-level exception, you probably could. So that's not saying if you keep DeMarco Green, he's definitely gone. It's just not the case. I mean, you could do things to keep him. Now, whether they want to or not is a totally different story. So, you know, and they have his bird rights. So, you know, you could just definitely do some things to keep him if you wanted to. And I don't think he'll command that high of a salary. I don't think he'll get out of the mid-level exception range for sure. So, you know, like I said, if you want to keep him, I think it has to be a really good deal to keep, or excuse me, if you want to trade him, it's got to be a really good deal to trade him. But my thought is they'll probably keep him and probably figure it out over the summer. But hopefully that answers your questions. Again, I appreciate the questions. You can always hit me up on Twitter at King_producer or the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. You can tweet me those questions. Usually I put out a tweet on Saturdays or Sundays of the weekend to just reply to that tweet for whatever your questions are. So you can do that, or you can email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com and you can get those questions that way. So make sure you keep sending in the questions. I'll keep answering them every Monday in this middle segment. And next segment coming up, we will talk about the Grizzlies and try to figure out why exactly they're so bad. It'll probably be a lot of the same stuff we've been talking about, but we'll just talk about a little bit more in depth and see what we can figure out. So stay tuned for that next segment. Welcome back to the show. This I have already spent a lot of time on this the show today, and I apologize it's so long, but there's just so much to talk about over the weekend, and I've been gone for a week as well, so and I talk a lot, so it's just what it is. So but why are the Grizzlies so bad? Grizzlies have not been great in the last 12 games. 4-8 is their record, with the wins only coming over the Nets, and that was a double overtime game. It took a lot to get that win. Clippers, Pelicans, and Blazers. you know, the problem starts with Marc Gasol. It really is the truth. Over the last 12 games, averaging 15 points, huge drop off over that after that Raptors game, after rolling his ankle. And he went from having 27 to like 15, 10. I mean, there was one game where he was like 21%, you know, like field from the field. There's another game that he's not good. His rebounding rate has gone, has plummeted. It's just not the same player. Not the same player from what you had to start the year. So I think it starts right there. But obviously, it starts with Marc Gasol and how good he is for this team. Not only on the offensive end, for the defensive end as well. I mean, there, JB was asked about it, and he said that, you know, just about having Marc Gasol out there, even if he's hurt. And Marc Gasol admitted that he was hurt, and he was not healthy. You know, JB said that, you know, having Marc out there, even when he's not scoring, he can anchor the defense and provide defensive help. But, you know, I guess the question is, you know, is a 50% Gasol probably better than no Gasol at all? I think the question is probably, yeah. I mean, for this team, I mean, what else are you going to do? They don't have a whole lot of depth there. I mean, I don't know if you're going to roll Joakim Noah out for 30 minutes a game, you know? So, you know, I think they probably just have to continue doing what they're doing, unfortunately. But for them, I mean, they have Mark Sachs, and Mark had a game where he was 1-13, 5-12, 4-14, you know, a couple games where he only took 6 shots. I mean, just a totally different player from the beginning of the year, where he was averaging well over 20 points a game. Had 3 games in a row, he had 27 points and was averaging, you know, had multiple games with 13, 14, 15 rebounds. It was just playing out of his mind. And now it just looks totally different. I mean, just a completely different player, and hasn't gotten over since that injury, since that Brooklyn game, hasn't got over 9 rebounds. That was last night in a game. And so, like I said, last night was the first night that he had a good game. Or not last night. I guess a Houston team was the last night. Houston game, was the first time he had a good game in a while. 17 points, 8 rebounds. Or excuse me, 9 rebounds. But he's been largely pretty bad. And that's not that's really not all his fault. I mean, because it starts with Mark. But I think the problem is, you know, I think we probably put too much depth in the role players is just too much. You're relying on too many people that you shouldn't be relied on. You know, Temple, Matt, Brooks, Seldon, guys just serviceable guys, but shouldn't be out there playing 30 minutes a night. Just really shouldn't. I think we all probably got excited, including myself, about Temple and Mac, Brooks, Seldon, and Temple and Mac more so than anybody else. But these were guys who were going to be out there doing the things they could do every night, and it's just not true. Especially Mac has really fallen off a cliff the last few weeks as well. I mean, and that's why you saw Carter get his shot against the Rockets. I mean, just got to do something different. I mean, you let him take a chance, and he obviously proved he needs more minutes. And so, for Shelvin Mack, that was like the worst. That was like his nightmare out there, seeing a rookie playing that well. So, you know, that's the other problem is you have too many players that are playing too many. You know, these players that are just okay. They're role players. They're mid level role players in this team. This should be getting more like 12 to 15 minutes instead of 27 to 33 minutes. And so, that's really the other problem is you got too many players that are playing too many minutes that are not supposed to be playing that amount of minutes. You know, Temple, I love Temple. I've said that a ton of time on this podcast. And he's one of those guys that also does so many things that, you know, as we always say, they do so many things, they don't show up in the box score. Well, you know, you can only have so many of those guys on your team. You know, you already have one of those as well, and Kyle Anderson that does so many things that don't show up in the box score. You know, at some points, you got to have stuff to show up in the box score because that's what wins games. So, I love Temple. I still think he should be getting 20, 25 minutes a game. Or, you know, I think that he should be out there cementing defensive rotations because I think he brings a lot of veteran leadership and defensive anchoring that defense as well out to the team every night. And so he's the one I think that should be getting the most minutes. But Max, Brooks, Sheldon, I mean, hell, Brooks and Wayne Sheldon, I don't even think they should be playing right now. I mean, I really don't think they should be even having any minutes. But there is nobody else for the Grizzlies to really play. I mean, you have Caspi who's getting minutes here and there. You know, I'd like to see his minutes probably go up. But, you know, Brooks and Seldon, I mean, even Caspi, I mean, you know, he's just a mid-tier role player. And you have some of those guys, you know, just playing too many minutes, you know, at that point. And you need a... You know, you need a third playmaker. You need someone that's going to go out and score, you know, 15 points from starting rotation every night. You know, Jaren Jackson should be that guy, but he's not right now. If he's not going to be, you got to have something else. Jaren has to be aggressive out there. If you're not going to run play stuff for him when Mark or Mike are out there, put him in, you know, sub Mark or Mike out first, let him stay a little longer with the second unit, let him really dominate the offense in that second unit, bring him back earlier with the second unit before you bring Mark and Mike back. There has to be something different for Jaren because he has to be the third playmaker, he has to be the third scorer, and he can be. He showed plenty of times where he can be that person, but he has to be put in spots where he's able to succeed as well. And then for him, for Jaren himself, he's also got to stop fouling. He, you know, there are games where he fouls 2 minutes in, you know, 3 minutes into the game, and it just kind of stuck. You know, it really and truthfully, he's kind of stuck at that point. I know we wanted to foul out, but you also can't let him foul out before halftime. So, you know, Jaren himself is, you know, I've watched that they're just bad fouls. You know, and so he has also had to be better on defense. That's a play. Defense with his body and not with his hands. He has to be able to move his feet better. And so you have all those things that kind of mash together and all in one spot. You really have just a terrible 2 weeks where they just have not been playing well at all because you just have a combination of things. You have role players who've been playing too many minutes who have kind of fallen back, you know, come back to reality. And they're giving you, you're giving, you have, you know, starters that, your guard spots who are giving you, you're getting a combined 12 points or combined 15 points from two starters. It's just, you can't have that. You can't have that and win games in the NBA. It just doesn't, it's never going to work. So, they're just gonna have to do something. They either got to, they're gonna have to, they need to continue to shop for a playmaker, some kind of starting two guard that they can have for several years. What they have right there, the hodgepodge of players, just it just isn't going to work. And as much as I love Temple, if putting him in a deal makes things happen, then put him in a deal and make it happen. Because I would rather have a starting two guard who can score buckets and score points and be okay at defense than have a veteran leadership presence who's good at defense, who sometimes may or may not give you points. And like I said, I love Garrett Temple, but if that's what it'll take to get the deal done, that's what they'll have to do. So that's good, you know. That's why the Grizzlies are losing, unfortunately. It's not so in-depth analysis that we can't figure it out. And so hopefully they will try to rectify that problem. Obviously, we know they're shopping. They're looking at deals. They tried. Hopefully they'll continue that, and they will and they'll get something done. And hopefully sooner rather than later, because Mike and Mark, they definitely need help for sure. But again, I appreciate you guys joining me for the day. I'm glad to be back this week. We'll be have another good show tomorrow. Have Mari Sankofa, I believe that's how he says his last name, tomorrow on the Tuesday show with us from The Athletic. Talk Grizzlies with him. See if he can give his opinion on why the Grizzlies are not doing so well at the moment. So we'll have another good show for Tuesday as well. And hopefully you guys will join me then. Again, I'm Mark King. Find me online at King_producer. If you'd like to be a feature sponsor on this show, please email me at lockdowngrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockdowngrizzlies.com.